to discuss the unfolding Libyan crisis, let's talk now to Annie Machon. She's a former intelligence officer for MI5. She's with us on the line from Germany tonight. Thanks ever so much for being on RT. It's appreciated. Let's talk about the special forces sent to Libya by the US and the UK, if we can. They're there, they say, for humanitarian purposes only. Do you agree with that?
Well, we've heard this all before, really, haven't we? And this is what tends to happen when our governments try to dance with the devil. We've seen this happen in Iraq before now, where the insurgents have been supported by special forces since the occupation and invasion. And it's just not a good way to go. It will create resentment. It won't foster the local democratic will. And it will give the dictator a pretext to crack down even harder. So I think it's definitely a very dangerous path to go down. We also saw today as well that three Dutch soldiers have been arrested and are being detained in Tripoli now, I believe. They allegedly went in to try and rescue a couple of Dutch nationals who were on their way out of the country perfectly fine before the intervention. So it's almost like they're trying to create a pretext or something where there are certain special forces in the country, some of whom might be captured, and then, of course, you need to go in and rescue the boys. So it's a perfect excuse for a larger scale invasion or action.
Very recently, we've witnessed revolutions in Egypt, Tunisia as well. And in both cases there, the US called on the opposing sides to sit down and negotiate. But we aren't, are we, hearing quite the same rhetoric in respect to Libya this time? Why?
Well, Gaddafi, of course, is a dictator. He has been in power for 42 years, and for much of that time, he was one of the number one priorities for the US and the UK intelligence agencies. He has been at the head of a rogue state, and he sees himself as a revolutionary as well. So it's a very different ballgame from trying to sit down and get the two sides in Tunisia or Egypt, where the dictator was backed and a friend and an ally of the West. Gaddafi has, at least for three decades, been a massive thorn in the side for the West. However, of course, they didn't learn the lesson of how they dealt with Saddam Hussein, where in the 1980s, he was seen as a crucial ally and was armed and backed by the US and the UK, and then, of course, went rogue again. Gaddafi was, as I said, one of the leading security threats throughout the 1980s and 1990s to Western interests. I mean, he was backing organisations like the Abu Nidal organisation, the Provisional IRA and various Palestinian groups. So he has caused a lot of problems, and it was almost too quick the way that the West tried to effect the rapprochement. As soon as he said in 2003, OK, you can have my weapons of mass destruction, they welcomed him with open arms, and Tony Blair created quite a dangerous situation, I think, by just accepting him almost uncritically back into the fold.
We're hearing dire predictions. What's your take? What would foreign intervention mean for Libya? And on the flip side of the coin, what's in it for the Western powers who are offering that very support?
Well, I think foreign intervention for the Libyan people will be a tragedy, because we've seen what happened in Bosnia, we've seen what happened in Iraq, where the general population suffer. It's not the government, which, you know, the sanctions are notionally imposed against, that suffers. It's the general population. They're already in dire straits. They're suffering violence. They're suffering hunger as well. So they will be the ones that have to bear the brunt of any international intervention. In terms of what might happen for the West, well, this is a difficult one. As I said, it's very much dancing with the devil. A dictator who is rogue, who has nowhere to go now because his assets have been frozen in the West. He can't flee. He is now wanted potentially in the International Criminal Court for war crimes. So he's got nothing to lose. He will fight to the death. And even if he were to win, even if he cracks down incredibly brutally and crushes the rebels in Libya and maintains power yet again, then we have a situation where someone who was welcomed back into the international diplomatic fold is going to be very angry and very, very cynical about his former allies in the West. So once again, it'll become a rogue state. It'll become a breeding ground for terrorist backers and things like that. It's going to be a nightmare.
Annie, that may be what's ahead in the future. But let's talk about the present. Experts saying opposition forces in the country at the moment are too weak to win the battle against Gaddafi by themselves. That's the crucial bit, I guess, isn't it? What's your opinion on that?
Well, certainly the reports are coming out that the rebels are being armed and backed and assisted by the UK and the US. And it's not a surprise to me, shall we say, because even in the 1990s, we had a situation where MI6 and the Americans were supporting and funding and helping Islamic extremists within Libya to try and topple Colonel Gaddafi. This was the infamous Gaddafi plot from 1996. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're now doing the same, but slightly more openly. But again, we get this escalation, therefore, of potential terrorism. And we don't see a healthy and organic development of democracy. We see something that's very much controlled from the outside, and that's not what Libya needs at this time.
Hannah, you're going to be best placed to answer this one. It's an interesting line that's come out over the past couple of days. Since the beginning of the unrest, many journalists, we're hearing, have reportedly been contacted by PR agencies acting, apparently, for the various leaders of the countries we've been talking about, trying to get them to stem the flow of negative headlines. Now, given your experience, what role do you think can spin play in a situation like the one spreading across the Arab world?
Well, I mean, spin has been crucial in Middle Eastern politics for many, many years. I mean, spin is what took Britain into the Iraq war, for example. You know, all those crass headlines about weapons of mass destruction and deployment within 45 minutes. But again, in the case of Libya specifically, certainly back in the 1990s, they have a history of paying UK-based PR companies to try and spin their position. And it did work for a certain amount of time. So, for example, in 1995, a UK-based PR agency was paid £4 million to try and subvert the evidence that pointed towards Libyan involvement in the Lockerbie case. And this is what has led to all sorts of alternative theories about Lockerbie. Although, of course, all the evidence did point to the fact that al-Megrahi and Lamin Fima were actually responsible. Mm-hmm. So Libya knows how to play by these rules. They know how to play the game. And I'm not at all surprised that they're now doing it again.
Annie Macklin, former intelligence officer for MI5, talking to us on the line from Dusseldorf tonight on RT. Thank you for your input.